All right, we're rolling.
All right.
Speak with Landry Brewer, local author. And Landry, this was quick. You wrote the book Cold War Oklahoma. Now, was that a year ago?
It was April last year. It's been 16 months.
And now, boom, blink of the eye, I see Cold War Kansas is now ready to be. Is it released? Has it been published?
It publishes August 24th.
August 24th. Okay. Tell me now, is this something where you're working at the same time, or is it just something you immediately picked up when you were done with Cold War Oklahoma?
Well, I've now written two books, and after each one I say, I'm never doing this again. Way too much work. No, what I was able to do was use a lot of the research from my first book and my second book, because I was looking at things like the Atlas missiles, the Atlas missile program, because Kansas had those. And so I was able to incorporate a lot of the research from Cold War, Oklahoma. Same with civil defense. I wrote about civil defense in Kansas. Well, I'd written about civil defense in Oklahoma against the backdrop of the National Civil Defense Program. So there is some overlapping, but there's a lot of information unique to Kansas. And I learned a lot, like I did writing about Oklahoma. And I think not just Kansans will find it interesting, but if you're interested in the Cold War, if you are from Kansas, if you have friends in Kansas, if you've ever heard of Kansas, I think you will find it interesting.
How similar was it back then? I read the book Cold War Oklahoma. Very fascinating, the process, how it was to build those missile silos and why who contracted them to do it and all that. How similar was it in Kansas? Was it very similar? Was there some differences?
There were similarities. Oklahoma had one type of intercontinental ballistic missile. We had the Atlas F. We had 11 of those near Altus Air Force Base, and the 12th was just across the Red River in Texas. So 12 total were attached to Altus Air Force Base. Kansas had three different intercontinental ballistic missiles. Kansas had the Atlas E. 9 of those were attached to Forbes Air Force Base at Topeka. Kansas had the Atlas F, like we had in Oklahoma. They were attached to Schilling Air Force Base at Salina. Kansas also had the Titan II intercontinental ballistic missile attached to McConnell Air Force Base at Wichita. So there were similarities, but there were also differences. Oklahoma had one ICBM, Kansas had three. Oklahoma housed 11 total missiles, Kansas housed 39 total missiles.
Now why is that? Location?
It had to do with the number of Air Force bases, the requirements for the different ICBMs. And Kansas satisfied those requirements, which was a double-edged sword. Thousands of people got jobs working on those sites, building those sites in Kansas. On the other hand, Kansas was almost surely in Soviet crosshairs. Three different Air Force bases in Kansas housing offensive intercontinental ballistic missiles with extremely powerful nuclear warheads. And so Kansas surely would have been targeted by the Soviet Union in a nuclear war. In fact, here in Oklahoma, I came across no information that Oklahomans balked, that they protested, or they objected in any way to having intercontinental ballistic missiles here. Some Kansans were a little upset. They were fearful, and specifically students at McPherson College in McPherson, Kansas, protested at least one of the Atlas sites under construction.
They protested. They didn't riot.
They didn't riot. Although I did, one piece of information I found said there was a little bit of damage done to one of the sites, but a religion major, a 29-year-old father who was a religion major at McPherson College, said he was a spokesperson for the group of protesters, the student protesters from the school. And he said, "We're not specifically protesting just these sites. We're protesting all nuclear missiles. We want peace. We want love and peace, not war."
Sure.
Which is fine.
It was the 60s.
It was. Yeah. It was a time of peace and love and protesting. But as far as I know, the protests were peaceful. There was no rioting. But that did stand in contrast to the Oklahoma reaction. I found no information that Oklahomans ever protested or were anything but grateful to have the opportunity to work. I mean, it provided jobs here in Oklahoma as well. Lots of jobs, thousands of jobs were provided in Kansas
It was a much grander scale than what it was in Oklahoma.
It was. And, you know, I think we talked before about the nuclear warheads on the Atlas missiles we had here were extremely powerful. They were 4 megaton, which means 4 million tons of TNT. That was the equivalent of each nuclear bomb in the Atlas missiles here. Well, Kansas had those missiles. So there were 12 at Schilling Air Force Base and 9 at Forbes. 9 and 12, that's 21. So they had 21 of those missiles with those extremely powerful warheads. But McConnell Air Force Base at Wichita also housed 18, or sites near Wichita housed 18 Titan II missiles. The Titan II missile was and still is the largest missile the United States has ever produced, and also had the most powerful nuclear warhead. One Titan II missile had a 9 megaton nuclear warhead. So each one was more than twice as powerful as an Atlas missile. And those Atlas missiles were more than 200 times more powerful than the atomic bombs we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of World War II. Just one Titan missile's nuclear warhead, Titan II missile's nuclear warhead, had the destructive capacity equal to 3 times more than all of the bombs dropped in World War II, including the atomic bombs. Just one of those missiles had that much explosive power. And there were 18 of them in Kansas.
Wow, you're making me dizzy with that.
That's a lot of numbers, but there's a lot of information to keep up with.
Back to present day in the release of your book, you did a lot of maybe a little bit of a book tour first go around. You plan on going up to Kansas and maybe going to some specific places?
My publisher is trying to arrange some author events, book signings, and the like in Kansas. Of course, the pandemic may dictate much of that, but I'm still waiting to hear from my book publisher about possible events in Kansas. We've lined up bookstores in Kansas to sell it. The book is available online at all the usual suspects, but we're also putting it into booksellers there in Kansas, and we're hoping to have a few author events in Kansas.
Okay, so you said you'll never write a book again. So let me ask you, is there going to be a Cold War Missouri, Cold War Colorado, Cold War Nebraska, New Mexico, any Texas, anything like that in the works?
You know, I have no plans right now to write any more books ever.
But you said that a year ago.
So right now I'm just enjoying having written. Authors like to say they enjoy having written more than writing, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I like having written a lot more than writing. Right now, I'm enjoying looking back. You never know what the future will hold. There's certainly a lot of information out there and a lot of good stories to tell. And maybe that's my primary motivation in writing these books, is they're just great stories. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely really interesting stories about very important roles that states like Oklahoma and Kansas played during what many historians consider the most dangerous period in the history of the world. And it's just a lot of great stories about how everyday Oklahomans, everyday Kansans, were affected by the Cold War and lived with the Cold War, the threats as well as the opportunities. Preparing for possible attacks, civil defense, places like Salina or Kansas State University that designated buildings as fallout shelters and stocked them full of food and water, because we thought there was a real chance the Soviet Union would start attacking us, would start bombing us with nuclear bombs. And it's just, it's really, I've learned so much, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And I think readers will learn a lot too, and will find it interesting, because there are just a lot of interesting stories.
Probably should ask this question earlier, but you did a lot of on-site research, I know, in Oklahoma. You mentioned fallout shelters, and there's one right here in Elk City, excuse me, that you got a lot of pictures of, the contents of that, and other abandoned sites. Did you do any on-site research up in Kansas? Did you take any trips up north?
I was unable to do on-site research, but the nice thing is there was so much duplication. Mm-hmm. The Atlas F sites in Kansas were identical to the Atlas F sites in Oklahoma. Mm. And I got to visit Oklahoma Atlas missile sites, even getting to tour one of them a couple of times. And so I'm very familiar with those. And knowing that the Kansas sites were identical really did help me out. Unfortunately, I was unable to visit Kansas, but the civil defense preparations in Kansas were identical to the civil defense preparations in Oklahoma. The items that were stocked, the federal requirements, the kinds of facilities, the requirements to be a facility, And so I was helped writing Cold War Kansas by all the research I did, both the academic research as well as the actual on-site visiting sites, visiting fallout shelters, getting to hold and see and touch federal fallout shelter civil defense materials.
Yeah. I call it memorabilia.
Yeah, memorabilia.
It almost needs to be in a museum. Well, congratulations. Again, tell me the date of the release.
August 24th. The book will be available. It's available now online for pre-order. It is Arcadia Publishing. Technically, my publisher is The History Press, which is an imprint of Arcadia Publishing. But you go to the Arcadia Publishing site and you can find the book. We're hoping to have it. Actually, we're hoping to have it in some Oklahoma locations. I don't have word on that yet, but we're hoping to get it into some Oklahoma booksellers.
Very good. Landry Brewer, local author, teacher, radio host extraordinaire. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jared.